The Wake Up Song and the You Bastard Sight of the Day. Want to know more? Visit Holmberg's Morning Sickness online at 98kupd.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to the Morning Sickness. It is 5:45. It's Monday. You're allowed outside starting 45 minutes ago. My name's John Holmberg. There's Brady Bogan, Creepy E, Big Dick Toledo, and what a fun weekend. Hey, by the way, nobody's talking about it. Coronavirus is gone. This is great. It's over. I haven't heard a word about it for a couple of weeks. Well, concerts again. No, it's over, Brady. Did you see last night? The news didn't once mention this is very irresponsible, this gathering. That's all they've been bitching about for the last month is that, you even get close to somebody. This person didn't wear a mask. They should probably lose their jobs. And last night it's like,
stats are gone. They usually have stats on the right
all day
side.
Long. And the stats have been horrible, by the way. I don't know if you've been paying attention. You haven't. They'll pop them up at 9 in the morning and go, like 800 new cases yesterday. And that was down to about 3 a couple weeks. But that's over. That's over.
Well, riots can, people are close together.
Maybe it's got our attention span doesn't care anymore. We've looked at
they don't want to throw any more stuff onto the crazy fire.
You're adding responsibility to what they do. Knock it off.
That's true.
Stupid. The fact of the matter is that we can have concerts again. If we can gather like we've been gathering in these major cities without anybody bitching, we can start having some fun on the side too, right? Can't we?
Yep.
Because I'll tell you right now, this society is not at all going to be like, all right, everybody, the rioting is done and the protests are over. We've all calmed down. Now, back to distancing and everything. No, we're not doing it again. You're not putting these muffins back in a tin. We have just watched an entire group of people bitching at us for months about social distancing, not care at all when it came down to filming awesome fires and fights and everything else. So couldn't wait to get their news crews down there into the mix. They're wearing masks, but they're shoulder to shoulder. So it's ridiculous.
Posing in front of the fire.
There's absolutely
for the gram.
No comments about the coronavirus.
I did notice a lot of the news people are being pretty smart about it. They don't have like flags on their mics.
They're just dressed
in black. Yeah. They actually look like part of the protest.
Some are wise because they've been told by their bosses, get in the mix. Get inside the middle of this. Last night, I thought Chris Cuomo was doing a good job on CNN, and he threw it out to a guy who's just got his gas mask on, and he's backing up with his microphone, and he keeps backing into people, and then like they go, MF, MF. And he'd be like, a protester's very angry, very angry. Let's just, Chris. And he's like, if you need to get out of there, just get out of there. And I'm like, he's backing into it.
Yeah.
You tell him to turn around, at least watch where he's going, you idiots. You're doing this on purpose.
And I saw one news guy get, he was actually part of the tear gas in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing standing right that close?
This is great TV, Chris.
Oh, my God. Let me try to talk to somebody.
Let me dip my hand in this bag of glass. Ow, Chris, you're not going to believe how much that hurt. Bag of glass, hand in bag of glass, Chris. Back to you. Oh, just get out of there. I don't know why you dipped your hand in that bag of glass. It's crazy outside. I'm like, they're putting themselves in harm's way and then complaining about how crazy harm's way is. And they're just their brave reporter. I'm like, Jesus, you had me for a second, guys. You were doing a really nice job narrating what was going on. And now you are causing the problem. And then you are the story, which is the opposite of what you've learned to be a journalist. Now I've banged into this thing, and they're talking about lighting me on fire. I'm now the story. it's the worst. But, yeah, I mean, it was weird. It was just flat weird all
Ask
weekend.
Laura Logan how it is to be that close to a riot.
Yeah. Ask Laura Logan how it is to be, hey, guys, you ready for that red light to go on? And they're all like, yeah, we are. And we're quiet until wait. You wait, lady. Just wait. And the red light goes on. We're here for the media. You guys are causing this.
Okay. Here we are in 3, 2, 1. Laura Logan, CBS News. That's my top. It's gone. I don't know what's happened. Well, I'm going to go into the hordes and masses. You probably won't see me for a week. CBS.
Laura Logan, that was brilliant reporting. Hopefully we hear from her again soon. She's going to have one hell of a story to tell on 60 Minutes. That's for sure.
Laura's pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations,
congratulations,
Laura.
My God. Nothing better than the gift of life. No matter how it happened, I think. Anyway, that's a different story. Yeah, but
flipping around, she was talking on Friday night when the thing was going on.
Oh, she goes, yeah, they go out. But the media is just like mind-blowingly inconsistent with everything. Although many have done a very good job. There have been like Breonna Whitney.
Yeah, I saw one guy, he's in there asking, what is it that you want on the
protest? What's the end game? Yeah, what is the
want?
And
a couple of people had, that were marching or doing some stuff had some good answers.
Well, the fear for me is all of this. Is that even if both sides sat down and said, what do we do next? The word change comes up, and the other side's like, okay,
What does that entail? Ends with boredom. This protest thing ends with either boredom or something awful, because really we can't install the change overnight. And I understand. I get it. I understand both ends of the spectrum on this. There's a group of people that have been treated unfairly for so long. You have to expect an irrational, unfair response when you've been poorly treated. The poor response comes back, and that's happening. And that's, you know, I get it. I get that. I mean, is it dumb in certain instances? Are there people in the middle of it who are instigating and antagonizing more than this is? 100%. I mean, that's been proven out, that there are groups that are trying to make black people look bad, and it's working. It's instilling the belief of people who don't like them in the first place that this is what you expect when they don't get their way. And there are people who are trying to make the opposition to them look terrible by being racist. Chris Cuomo was perfect. I think I was like, don't get me wrong, I've been in these mixes before. You can tell who the people are who are trying to incite violence and get the crowd going, and it's not hard. You get a group of people who are peaceful, they start seeing a fire, they start worrying, they get frantic, they scurry around, and the next thing you know, you've got mob violence. And I think that's what happened in Scottsdale the other night, Fashion Square. I had a police officer talk to him Saturday afternoon, and he's like, here's what I've dealt with all day. And it just showed me this thing. Over 600 threats had come in. He goes, we got to take every one of these seriously. And he goes, some we know aren't right, but we got to take everyone seriously. And he goes, this area, the Biltmore area, Scottsdale Fashion Square, we got to be all over it tonight because that's where the threats are.
It's like our bomb threats in high school.
Yeah, yeah. You got to take them all seriously.
Stand outside for an hour.
And that's what I said. I said, I can't imagine doing your job. And he goes, tonight, I put the gear on and we stand downtown. That's my job. And he said, so just to keep an eye on your house and what's going on. You know, our Next Door app had threats against all women walking outside. Whether they're real or not, you got to take it seriously. Threats against a police station that's right next door to me. I mean, I could step into my backyard and with a good chuck, pop that police station with a rock. And it's big. There's a ton of cars there. That got threats last night. So, I mean, people were on edge.
People
and that's all
businesses
it takes.
In areas.
But that's all it takes for a neighborhood to freak out.
Yeah.
Is right. When they don't know the threats are real. Nobody can distinguish what's real and what's not real. And it's popping up on your neighborhood app. And it makes people nervous. And nervous people do dumb things. And so we had a guy walking around in the street behind me, sidearm in hand, and you know, up against him at the end of his driveway. And we had some motorcycle strangeness going on Missouri that was just driving up and down. Like nobody's getting into this neighborhood because the threats, real or otherwise, against the white rich people were being taken as we're going to have an opposition to that. There was like a weird Hell's Angels. I'm not saying it was them, but like a presence that felt that way in the area. I'm like, what in the world? I drove by the Biltmore Fashion Square last night on my way home from something about 5:30. Boards on the windows.
Just before the curfew?
They were a huge target, yeah. So, I mean, people were taking every threat seriously. And when you scare some groups, and this is what the whole point of the protests are, living scared causes overreaction. And that's basically what the community that's angry is saying. We've been living scared for a long time.
So yesterday you were like, man, I wish I was Jeremy right now.
No, I never ever would wish that. I'm well armed.
I'd rather die in a riot.
I wouldn't die. I wouldn't die. I'd go down swinging. Jeremy would just become food. Yeah, no, I never would wish that.
You could have gone over to his house. I'm sure he'd have been fine.
I couldn't have because I would have thrown up in the neighborhood. So I couldn't have done it. I would have gotten sicker there than I would have trying to fight off the angry hordes. And I didn't think anybody was going to come marching up and just burn all the houses down. That's not going to happen. But other people
did. But you thought about, you can't help but think about preparation.
Did I have a gun handy last night? You bet
yep.
I did.
Yep.
And that's not a rational way for John Holmberg to think. But that was just that thing like, you know what? 600 plus threats on the area. I'd be a fool to sit back and say, come on, everybody. Let's just watch some funny stuff. It's just weird. It's just a weird mentality. And it happened, you know, that Fashion Square thing turned from a couple guys getting noisy. I have a friend who lives right in that area. He's got a condo in the area. And he's like, it went from like people walking their dogs to one guy screaming to like 20 people screaming. And then the next thing you know, people are running in every direction. And that's pure panic. And then they get weird. Normal people get weird. Sketchy people get weirder. And the people who are causing trouble get amped up by it. It's a real easy recipe for nightmare.
There are times
and they just shut down some of the malls that following, you know.
Oh, like they Chandler did shut them down. But that's the dangerous thing, too. Now they know they're unguarded. Well, that's what Biltmore was just.
There are times I've looked downtown and I'm gone, you know, there's some nice condos down here. Yeah. I wouldn't mind living down here.
Yeah.
then something like this happens. And,
yeah. Like, well, downtowns are you know,
that's where,
odd for that.
Yeah, that's where everything goes down if there's going to be this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's where the people are. It's where they congregate in mass. So, well, you know, we live in a big city. There's tons of that. And, yeah, I don't think it was a scary moment last night other than they're sitting there just like, oh, if some idiot decides. If one guy shoots, that's all it takes is like a warning shot. Warning shots have started wars. And, you know, you're just like, oh, just everybody keep your head. And last night was pretty good. And I think, you know, the all call, the police were on an all call because Scottsdale basically admitted Saturday. They're like, we're not prepared for this. And they got caught like with their pants down Saturday, knowing that the threats were on the mall and still, you know, they put out what they thought was enough guys and were overwhelmed immediately and just said, back out and let them have the mall for a little bit. They're, do everything you can, but this is not going to be an easy. And they basically had to admit we were flat-footed. We got caught. So yesterday, a cop buddy of mine told me, we're on an all-call, man. Every police officer with a badge is now being told, you're on tonight. And they put them in spots. And luckily, I think the presence and, you know, to a certain degree, the curfew was effective. They kept people off the roads. They did a good job last night. Nobody got hurt. That's the thing. Nobody's hurt. You know, worst case scenario, you got a few people arrested for just being jackasses. They'll be in and out in a day. And that's it. So, you know, luckily Phoenix didn't get the brunt of it. After Saturday, I thought Sunday was going to be a little bit worse. And
Friday night was interesting because they're upset. You know, a lot of the national news going from town to town are saying, I think they're pointing the finger at the Minneapolis. Yeah. The governor didn't do anything. He's like, just let them. The protesting, he's like, let them have it. Just go and let them have it. And there's a part that I thought, well, I kind of understand what he's doing. If you bring more in there, it incites, makes it worse.
You don't have anybody to antagonize if you don't bring an opponent.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people that were there to try and rile up trouble, and there are, that's the strange thing. And Chris Cuomo on CNN last night said the guys in the Guy Fawkes mask, the last thing he stood in, it was a downtown, you know, police thing. I think it was, he said the ones in the Guy Fawkes masks were the ones that we watched because we knew they weren't there for any good reason. They weren't on either side. They were there to create a problem. And you got to watch out for that. So there's those people, too. It's weird because we're now dealing in a world where it's like it doesn't really matter what the end game is. This is just a frenzy. And we got to live with it until it cools off and we figure out what we're going to do next. But, you know, fact of the matter is, and I don't want to be Johnny Naysayer, but without the proper conviction, without the proper result in the eyes of many, this happens again in about 4 or 5 months.
You better
and that's
better hope for
that's
for
wildly
something.
Dangerous to me too. Because if the eyes of justice are continually blind, and I know that is a debate. If there's no murder charge,
well, there's a murder charge.
Oh no, there's a murder charge right now. But if there's no murder conviction, no murder conviction, and it becomes, you know, involuntary or responsibility for death, that comes with a different charge. That comes with a different sentence altogether.
I heard somebody discussing this earlier on a news station about the law is very vague as far as how and it protects cops pretty much 100% because all they have to say is I felt my life was threatened.
Right.
Which I don't know. You know, you had him in the back of the car handcuffed at one point. So I don't know how you're cursing at you.
Yeah, we're dealing. He won't win that.
But you can use that.
We're dealing with
gets all the cops off basically.
Well, it can, but I mean, murder three doesn't even exist in a lot of states. It's what he's being charged with is not even. It's basically a low form of involuntary manslaughter. Is it a nightmarish murder? It's not pretty to watch, but is it a guy just reaching down and strangling him? No. And the autopsy report initially coming back that said it wasn't asphyxiation, my head just started to shake.
Uh-oh.
Because when the conviction comes, you can't get a murder charge off of that if the guy's heart stopped.
And then what's in the system?
The design of the design of the court case will be, well, he died of something else. I mean, did he contribute to his death? Absolutely, but that's not murder. And you're like, here we go again.
So, and the family said it from the beginning that they are not going to trust whatever the coroner comes up with. They're getting their own.
Yeah, they've got their own. So we're going to have conflicting this and that. Yeah. And we're not dealing in facts anymore. We're dealing in emotion. And that's going to be
the problem is, I mean, this isn't just about one thing. You got the Breonna Taylor thing going on.
All sorts of stuff. You got years of it.
Then you got the Georgia deal that just happened not too long ago. I mean, it's just piling up.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of anger piles up with it.
A certain group of people being treated absolutely, unbelievably, you expect an unbelievable response. And I think we've all known for years that eventually this will be a thing. That's why everybody gets so nervous. But
Everybody's got a camera now, and so now you're seeing it.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It was bigger, for sure. Boy, those cameras were annoying me to death last night, though, those protesters. And Jake Paul, Logan Paul's brother, he's wandering around inside Fashion Square. And his excuse doesn't hold water. And he's like, we were just documenting what was going on. Like, you're wandering around. Yeah, you didn't loot, but your documentation basically was like, whoa, snap. Oh, my God, bro. You're the worst documentarian I've ever heard in my life. And you had no business in there.
And what
went on with that was every stupid person that considers themselves an influencer or Instagram star.
So now, Brady was down there?
Yeah, you should have. Now, he could because, according to Jake Paul, he's got a responsibility. And it gives them license to wander around inside of it. CNN, Fox, and all the others, you may hate or love either one. Never once did they get in with the protesters and the rioters and bash the windows in with them and run around going, wow, look at this. They document from a distance. They're not getting involved in the mess. And, if they're on the streets and stuff, but if they break an entering, I don't think CNN's going to jump in and break an entering with them. But they'll take those. Their backs are against the wall because they're competing with the internet for money.
Yeah, and they're not allowed to get his hits.
Yeah, they're not allowed to. Exactly. They're not allowed to do half of what the internet people are showing. And that's
you know what it's like, John. You've played Grand Theft Auto. You see the back of that truck and you want to jump it.
Absolutely you do. Boy, they'll see it.
Now they're giving an excuse. Yep. Hey, there's no cop around right now.
I don't have to do a thing. I'm in. I'm going in. It's crazy. It's just very strange. And 2020 is a weird year. It's just official. There's no turning around at this point. We could have 6 solid months of flowers and sunshine. I'd still be like, what a weird year. If it all ended today and some guy came down and said, I solved this, this, and this. Congratulations, you're all better. I'd still be like, what a strange 20.
What if the whole 20s are like this? The roaring 20s are back.
Could happen.
I don't have time for that. I don't believe I have the patience. For that.
By 2022, you'll be moving up to Alaska Hawaii.
Pretty much just go to Iceland or something. Start over.
Is it bad that the least crazy thing was those monkeys stealing coronavirus blood?
I forgot about it. The least insane thing that is on my brain right now is that a gang of monkeys.
I didn't hear about
this. A gang of monkeys attacked a doctor. Listen to this. A gang of monkeys attacked a doctor in India and stole coronavirus samples. We don't know how they knew he had coronavirus.
Well, you can train those suckers.
But it was a gang of monkeys.
It was
not
like
only
Planet of the Apes
attacked him, killed him. Right? Did he die? What he has is his coronavirus samples.
The bad guy in charge of those monkeys is pretty
and
awesome.
Ran off and had coronavirus samples. Now they're off with the monkeys.
They don't know where they are.
So they don't know where that is, and they don't know what that entails. Like what the monkeys are doing.
It's like an evil zoologist or something. One of Brady's people.
You should have known about this, Brady. Guys, I had that cop in my cul-de-sac going, "Hey, I want you to take all these threats seriously. This is, some are real, some are not. Don't panic, but just be diligent." I'm like, all right. And then Brady came by and went, "Hey, gotta let you know, there's gangs of monkeys been trained to. Just want to let you know your viruses. If you've got anything, lock those in a safe. That's what the monkeys are after tonight. That, and if you're an Indian doctor, I would highly recommend staying in."
And
thanks, zoologist bad guy.
Don't carry any samples around with you.
You got a briefcase of anything toxic or, biohazardous. Lock those up because we literally have Indian primates stealing from doctors. So that and what's going on here with the protesters and raping the white women and burning your house down, you probably want to just dig a hole and take some pills and die.
So this Dr. Evil character now has the virus?
Yeah.
Who knows what he can do with it?
I don't know. We stopped paying attention to the virus. So that's the monkeys are like, really? We went through great lengths. I trained these monkeys to steal and this is what we've got now? You're rioting? You don't even care. I trained killer monkeys to destroy medical facilities.
It was all a distraction. These riots are a distraction for this.
Well, finally,
that's impressive.
You know, the rats and the monkeys and everything else, they're fighting back against the doctors who have tested against them for so
many
years.
Enough testing.
So they're stealing viruses and they're going to throw them at us like they're poop at a zoo. It's crazy.
It's happening.
The whole thing's nuts. And then I got a text from somebody this morning that said my wife left the car on another state, 98 or something. I don't know what state, one of the rap stations. And he said, and I don't know if this is true or not, and he goes, and it just seemed like the whole show was dedicated to thinking this was awesome, that all cops are rotten, white people time you were scared, and it's like that's their morning show. You got to kind of be a little objective about it. And again, it's a group of people screaming out, you can't treat us all the same. You're racist against one big race, so we hate all the cops. You can't do it. That's saying we don't want you to hate groups by their color. You can't hate all cops. And again,
can't hate all the protesters.
You can't hate all the protesters. A good majority of those protesters are great people. And again, a lot of what's going on is designed to cause trouble. It's designed to make the protests look bad. And you can't differentiate by it, so you can't be, you know, I've heard people say that. Killer Mike, who's an activist and a rapper and a musician, I know that's tough to say. I said that on Friday morning.
It's good timing for that name.
I have watched him all week last week. I watched that guy say things. I don't know why. I just stumbled on it two times. And Friday morning is the show ended, I mentioned he had a great comment about the Second Amendment. And then on Friday night after the riot, Saturday, he was asked to do something. He gave one of the most eloquent speeches I've ever seen somebody give in a time like this that both captured the moment, the feeling, and the confusion, and seemed to be galvanized in the idea that he's got something to say and he's not sure how he's going to say it. But it was beautiful. Nobody can get past the fact his name's Killer Mike. When I brought him up Friday and I said, hey, if you want somebody that said something to the community, the African-American community, and said something about Second Amendment rights, hey, the people that keep saying they're on our side have made us all felons. And now they're saying, if you can, embrace your Second Amendment gun rights. So yeah. You want to see the politicians are been there for 60 years saying we're going to make the inner cities, but all they've done is make you a felon so you can't arm yourself. Essentially, that's what he's saying. And it's like, embrace it if you can. And I'm like, it's beautifully put. And some guy emails me, so that's your voice of reason is some boop named Killer Mike. And like, you can't get past the
solid email.
You can't get past the name. And I'm like, well, this is where
you into Tyrus too? Like him?
Yeah, I like Tyrus. There's a, there's
former wrestler.
You can't have
political
that.
Commentator.
Can't have it. You do Tyrus, especially because he says,
at least
listen to your
Killer
brother.
Killer Mike has taken, has gone viral. A lot of people are seeing it.
But Killer Mike's an activist. He's been around for a long time.
Right.
And
the great thing,
white people who already have a discomfort with that are going to look right past his words and see Killer Mike on the screen, and they'll be like, I'm done with this.
That's ridiculous.
And look, that's on both sides. Both sides judge immediately. The guy's a cop. He's a fan of cops. I got an email from another person that said, you support these pigs, and this is what you get. This is what – and I'm like, look, I can support the police all day long. That doesn't mean they're infallible. That doesn't mean that there aren't people who are police officers who do bad things.
But and there's been police that have been fired in these riots, four in
Absolutely.
Atlanta that have been overly aggressive.
Yep.
I saw this one guy was sneaking up behind women, this cop, and spraying them in the face, macing them in the face.
Hey, he was having a good time. He's going to lose his job. He might as well go out swinging. Yeah. But, yeah, I just don't understand the nature of this when I say, hey, I am the first to admit I am a supporter of the police. I think the more we support, the easier their jobs get, the less sketchy things are. I understand there's problems. But that doesn't mean that I forgive them for every trespass, that I say everything they do is perfect. But nobody can understand that. We live in a society where you say one thing, that means you're all-encompassing. And then we say, we hate when you're all-encompassing. We don't make any sense. I don't want you to say you like the cops because that means you support everything they do. And it's the same argument on the other side saying don't lump all people of color into one dish. But you're doing it back. And both sides are so wrong right now. And also right. The sad thing is if we just sit down for 2 seconds, we'd probably all realize we're more on the same page as a community than we ever have been.
And kind of stemming off what Killer Mike said there, this curfew thing that everybody's so pissed off about, relax.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's an excuse to arrest the people that are out of line in the streets. That's all it is. It gives them a charge.
It's a control mechanism.
Right. Which is a little scary in itself, but
has to be done. Lawlessness has to be met with control.
True.
And control of saying, hey, guys, we're going to make it so you can peacefully protest till about 8. We've run into trouble. So we've put a little rule up here. It says after 8.
Look at the exemptions. It's pretty much everything. You can do almost everything you were doing before.
As a decent person, stay decent. But anybody who wants to break the curfew is telling the police, we're the ones who are a problem. The decent people will adhere to going, hey, 8 o'clock, you said no more. We've done our –
if Brady wants a piece of pizza at 10 o'clock at night, he can go get it.
And he does.
I got it.
Yeah. That's it. But the police presence last night after 8 was to see who the guys who were going to be defiant towards the thing was. Mm-hmm. It's a control mechanism, and it's necessary. And last night, frankly, it worked. The good people went home, and we realized there aren't a ton of
You're right
weirdos.
About the heat thing. I mean, I think, you know, well, it's supposed to be especially hot. Even at night, it's hot.
In Los Angeles, where it's nice, they do a lot of daytime protesting. Here, we're like, hey, we're angry, but only when it's temperate.
This 8 o'clock curfew is going to kill all these people.
We're outraged, but there's a gauge on that. And 103 is about as – I won't be too outraged at 103. I'm not going to stand outside for a cause unless it's about 99. We have a temperature gauge on our outrage, and it is
– It's going to calm down.
Yeah. People get, you know, distracted and bored and say, I think you've said what you need to say. I think the message is out there for sure. But the weirdos and the ones who want to incite the problems are going to be the ones that are dancing around at 8:30, and the cops can go, okay, these are the guys we have problems with. These are the ones that want to make it a big thing. So you have to have that curfew. It is a control mechanism. And yes, I mean, they've arrested totally across the entire United States. 4,400 people have been arrested. When considering all that's going on, that's a low number. Yeah. And it's basic, you know, get out of the way arrests. Like, we're going to move you out of the way arrests, and then you'll be out tomorrow. But just a little stain on your record. They're fine. You know, those curfews are fine. And they are. They're designed to just basically say, hey, we got to keep these protests in order. And we got to make sure that if we see a group of people wandering around a mall at 8:30, we assume they're not going to be up to good things.
Right.
So it's to keep normal people away and keep the bad guys under a shining light. So
they have to just go around and say, all right, get home.
Just stay safe. That's basically all there is. Everybody's got a point. Nobody's listening. I fear that this happens again. You know, I was in a criminal investigations class in college when the riots of the Rodney King verdict came down. And our teacher was a former homicide detective in Los Angeles, and he knew a lot of people on the force. And he told the class, he goes, guys, brace yourselves. I've been paying attention to it because that wasn't a televised court case. He said, I've been paying attention to this through my friends. And even the cops that want this are saying there is not going to be a conviction here. The details that came out in that court case are basically going to be like they didn't do their jobs well. But they, you know, there's a lot of justification to what was going on in the courtroom. And he said, there's going to be a lower conviction, maybe even let them off. Because on the flip side, the prosecution did a terrible job. And he said, and in the courtroom, I don't think they see what's happening outside. They're just waiting for what they want. He said, this is going to blow up. And he couldn't have been more right. I fear the same thing with this, mm-hmm. that eventually there's going to be some facts that come out that people just don't want to have as facts. And it's going to make this conviction lesser than what people want, and we'll have another round of this. And also, the danger is every time something happens now, this is going to be a response, and we can't have that. So just cooler heads. I know I'm no voice for anything, but just cooler heads. That's it. And try to just keep your cool and try not to overreact. Even our listeners were like, these goddamn protesters, and what are these business people? Look. Well, unhealthy treatment leads to unhealthy response, and that's what you're seeing. So you sit back and just say, this is kind of a necessary release valve. It's awful, but I think it's kind of has to happen. It sucks, and there's no doubt about it, but just try to keep your cool. Try not to overreact. Try not to judge. I don't know. I'm not telling you guys anything you don't already know.
Right.
It's dopey. But there's no more coronavirus, so I'm bringing Pearl Jam back in 2 weeks. Screw this. If they can gather, we can gather.
I tell you what, we need some sports right now.
That's exactly right. We can't have baseball, but we can pile up in bunches and wrestle and steal.
Jesus, maybe that'll distract people. Get some basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs.
Those poor cops last night, part of their training and riot police training is to go arm in arm and interlink and make a wall. I'm like, that's not social distancing. That's the opposite. We're causing virus problems. So what are you going
to
do?
John, after this weekend, you'd be dead today. We had to change the names and the words of our drinking game because peaceful and protest had us on the floor in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, you were fools for going into the peaceful protest right. news watch with a drinking game.
Right. Yeah, you're going to be toasted.
I mean, Antifa would have been a good one. Radical would have been a good one.
There was looters. A lot of that. Who is Antifa?
Looters.
What is Antifa?
Well, there's 7 or 8 groups.
I know.
That are like, who knows what the hell's going on? And I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I just know.
It's become politicized. It's great.
It's weaponized. Wonderful. Worse still, it's been weaponized.
Yeah.
And that's scary because weaponizing riots makes riots more common. We're better than that. But maybe we're not.
No.
Maybe we're not. You know what? Maybe we're not. I like to think we are, but maybe we're not. Let's get a wake-up song, shall we, and try to trudge through this until we have to sit on our asses at 8 o'clock and hope our homes don't burn down. 585-9800, a good one. We'll start it off this morning as best we can. It's 98 KUPD.
The best the world has to offer in music, drama, and comedy.